This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اما بعد. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise him, we seek his help, and we ask for his forgiveness. We praise and thank Allah ta'ala for once again allowing us to be in this masjid in the month of Ramadan, on the 29th night of Ramadan. We are very fortunate. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Throughout this Ramadan, we have been learning a lot about our deen. And of course, Allah ta'ala gives us Ramadan for those iman boosters, as I said before. And alhamdulillah, during Ramadan, in the khutbah and also in the talks after the Taraweeh, we've learnt a lot. Now, Shaykh Ridwan, mashallah, he spoke about the Ashra Mubashirin fil Jannah, the 10 who were given the glad tidings of paradise. I believe one left, inshallah, tomorrow. We have also heard from Shaykh Bashir and myself, we've been speaking about the lessons we learn from Ramadan and how we can utilize that even after Ramadan. You know, we spoke about the main thing, which is taqwa. We spoke about asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. We spoke a lot about the recitation of the Quran, the importance of the Quran, even after Ramadan. We spoke about seeking tawbah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our sins. And that's again another essence of fasting in the month of Ramadan. We spoke about loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because we are following his sunnah, and how to bring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our life, to love him, and at least when we hear his name to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we spoke about kinship. We spoke about being dutiful towards our parents. There's so many things that we have learned. So inshallah today, as it is my final talk in the month of Ramadan here, I thought I want to add another 3 more points inshallah. The first point that I want to add is the importance of salah. Now you may think I know this, and we all do know this. We all know the importance of salah. But there are probably some of us sitting here right now that before the month of Ramadan, we didn't pray all our 5 daily prayers. We didn't. We missed some of them. And Ramadan is a time where we get that iman booster and remind ourselves about the importance of salah. So at least for those who didn't pray the 5 daily prayers, and I'm only talking about the fard here, then at least inshallah, let this Ramadan be that month that enables you to never miss your 5 daily prayers again. Let this Ramadan be that moment. Because we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said what? As-salah miftahul jannah. That salah is the key to paradise. Now have you seen the keys? If you look at every key, it has teeth. Right, and each tooth of the key is each of your prayers. If one tooth is missing, you will not be able to open the door of paradise. You won't. So your salah is that key to unlock the door of paradise. So let this Ramadan be that moment where you perform your 5 daily prayers. If you were already doing that before Ramadan, then let this Ramadan bring about a change where you will start to perform your voluntary prayers, your sunnah prayers. Do not miss them, especially the 12 rak'ah in the day. We know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he tells us the one who prays the 12 rak'ah of sunnah in the day. And what are those? Kids, help me out. What are those? Yes. Two before Fajr. Four before Dhuhr. Two after Dhuhr. Not before. Two after Maghrib. And two after Isha. That's the 12 rak'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever performs this, Allah will build for him a palace in Jannah. So let this Ramadan be a moment where we bring about that. If you were already doing that, then let this Ramadan bring about a positive change where you start to perform the tahajjud prayers. Now I want you to think about this. Every day in Ramadan, you are in this masjid, you are performing the taraweeh or the qiyamul layl. And the tahajjud, especially in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we're getting 3-4 lines for tahajjud, which is amazing. And we wake up every day for suhoor anyway. We get up. Because you know what we're afraid of? If we don't eat, we're going to be hungry throughout the day. So we force ourselves to get up, which is a good thing because it's a sunnah to have suhoor. Then let this Ramadan be a time where you, inshallah, and me, we will get up for tahajjud from now on. Even if it is 5 minutes before Fajr, 10 minutes before Fajr, 20 minutes before Fajr, whatever you can. At least if you pray 2 rak'ah, it will bring about such a positive change. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that Allah Ta'ala descends by His Majesty to the first heavens. And He descends in the last third of the night and He says, مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Who is there to ask or make dua to me? I am here to answer your dua. مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأَعْطِيهُ. Who is there to ask from me? I'm here to give. مَنْ يَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Who is there to ask me for forgiveness? I am here to forgive. Allah Ta'ala does this every night in the last third of the night. So let's take advantage of that, inshallah. Be that person that we can get up for tahajjud, even if it is 2 rak'ah. You know, once Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he had a dream. And he saw in the dream that he was in paradise. And he was holding a silk cloth. And that silk cloth was taking him around Jannah wherever he pleased. And then he saw two angels that were trying to grab that cloth and pull him towards Jahannam. And then that sort of frightened him. Then another angel came to his rescue and he told Abdullah ibn Umar, don't worry, they're not going to harm you. And he told the other angels, leave him alone. So when he woke up, he told his sister Hafsa, who happens to be the daughter of the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hafsa radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about his dream. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, what a good man is Abdullah ibn Umar. But he would be better if he prayed the tahajjud prayers. That's how he interpreted the dream. When Abdullah ibn Umar heard this, he said, from that day, I never left my tahajjud. I never left my tahajjud. So let's bring that positive change. Wallahi, if we pray tahajjud every day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring so much abundance of goodness in our lives. Insha'Allah ta'ala. The second reminder I want to give is the dhikr in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, the month of Ramadan is a month of dhikr, is a month of remembrance. We are coming to the masjid, we are remembering Allah. How many times a day do we say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim? How many times do we say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah? How many times are we making istighfar? How many times are we saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? In the month of Ramadan we increase it, and that's absolutely great. But inshallah, let's continue that even after Ramadan. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, moisten this tongue with the remembrance of Allah. moisten this tongue with the remembrance of Allah. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, كَلِمَتَانْ حَبِيبَتَانْ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانْ خَفِيفَتَانْ عَلَى اللِّسَانْ ثَقِيلَتَانْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Look how beautiful this hadith is. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, there are two phrases. There are two phrases which is loved by the Rahman, loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is light on the tongue, but it is heavy on the scale. Now look at these two phrases. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahi al-azim. It took me less than 5 seconds. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah, and all praise is to Him. Glory be to Allah, the Most Great. How beautiful are these phrases. So let's continue to remember Allah. When you're driving, do your tasbih. When you are waiting for something, do your tasbih. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the dhikr. And you'll see when you are in constant remembrance of Allah, Allah will remember you. Allah will remember you. Allah speaks about you to the noble angels when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do you really think the one who remembers Allah consistently, do you think Allah Ta'ala will leave him alone? No. Allah Ta'ala will be there for him when he needs Allah. And even if he doesn't need Allah at that time, we all need Allah all the time. But even if there is a time where he doesn't need much, Allah Ta'ala will still provide for him. There is an amazing story that was told to us by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. Beautiful, beautiful story. Because you know, some of us, we say, you know, we're not at the levels of the Sahabas. I mean, you know, the Sahabas, they would always remember Allah. They would be in constant worship of Allah. You know, they were up there. They would get the help of Allah. I mean, they had the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with them. But let me tell you this story. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, what a great man he was. Now, everyone knew Imam Ahmad, even at his time, very famous. But no one knew what he looked like unless you have seen him. I mean, of course, there were no posters, billboards, no Facebook, no nothing at the time to know what Imam Ahmad looked like unless and until you sat with him, you've seen him. So whenever Imam Ahmad would go on a journey, no one would recognize him. He would be very humble. And he would sometimes cover his face in case someone recognized him. He didn't want to be known when he would travel. He wanted to sit down with the students of knowledge and learn from them at times. That's how he loved his travels. There was one travel that he was going to Bilad al-Sham. And when he went towards Bilad al-Sham, it got quite late at night. And he needed to rest. So he found a masjid. And he went inside that masjid to go to sleep. There was no one else there. So as he was preparing to go to sleep, there was a security guard walking around the masjid. And the security guard, not knowing who Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is, I mean, he doesn't know. He said to him in a very rude manner, "Get up, get out of here. The masjid is closed." And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal could have said, "Hey, I'm Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal," but he didn't. He said, "But you know, I'm a traveler. I came and I need a place to stay." He said, "No, mosque is closed. Get out of here." So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal packed his things. He went outside of the masjid in the corridor of the masjid and decided to sleep at the corridor of the masjid. Look at this, Imam Ahmad. And again, the security guard came around and saw Imam Ahmad, the corridor of the masjid. He said, "Didn't I tell you the mosque is closed? Get out of here." And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, "I'm at the corridor of the masjid." He said, "No, mosque is closed." He didn't want to hear it. He grabbed the feet of Imam Ahmad, pulled him, dragged him all the way to the middle of the street and threw him there. Can you imagine this? Imagine a great scholar of today and someone dragging his feet like that. I mean, imagine if that security guard knew that was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. But still, he didn't say, "I am Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal." Now, upon this, there was a baker, an ordinary man, across the road. He heard the commotion. He went outside and he asked Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, not knowing who he is, "You know, what's happening? What's going on?" He said, "I tried to sleep in the masjid, but I was kicked out." And he said, "Look, I'm a baker. My bakery is right there. I'm working right now, getting ready for tomorrow. If you want, come rest over there while I'm working, if that's okay." So he accepted the offer. And the baker took him to his bakery. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, I tried to sleep, but there was something keeping me awake. He said, I would notice the baker, an ordinary man. He would get the dough. He would knead the dough. He would put it in the oven. He would take it out. He would make the bread. And as he was doing that, constantly, Subhanallah, 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 Alhamdulillah, 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 Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. Constant dhikr of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Constant dhikr of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Ahmad noticed this for a while. And then Imam Ahmad asked him, how long have you been doing this? He said, you know, for a very long time. I mean, I've been doing this for all my life. And then Imam Ahmad asked a very interesting question. He said, what do you get out of this? What benefit have you seen from doing the dhikr? Now look at the way Imam Ahmad's thinking. If a man is doing constant dhikr, there must be some benefit that he's receiving. So I want to know. Imam Ahmad's taking opportunities to learn. He said, Wallahi, I've been doing this dhikr and I think and I believe every time I've made dua to Allah, Allah Ta'ala has accepted my dua. Allah Ta'ala has accepted my dua. Imam Ahmad asked, every time you've made dua, Allah has accepted your dua? He said, yes. Every time I've made dua and Allah has answered my dua, but there's one dua that has not been answered. One dua. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he asked, what is that dua? He said, an aral Imam Ahmad. You know, to see Imam Ahmad. And Imam Ahmad, he couldn't help himself. He cried. He went to the man and he hugged him. And he said, Subhanallah, ha hu Allah. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. What amazing thing Allah has done. قَدْ جَاءَكَ بِأَحْمَدْ يَجُرُّهُ بِرِجْلِهِ إِلَى مَخْبَزِكَ. He said, how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he pulled the feet of Ahmed to your bakery for your dua to be accepted. Subhanallah. This is the power of dhikr, the constant remembrance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to continue with the remembrance of Allah, and Allah will not let you down. The last thing, I know I'm taking a bit more of your time, but the last thing, leading up to this next point with this story, dua. Dua, the power of dua. In Ramadan, we have been asking and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much for what we want. We want Jannah. We want our sins forgiven. We make the best of du'as. But what happens after Ramadan, many of us, we forget to ask Allah. Or we ask Allah when we really need something. When we're in desperate need. And then we forget Allah when we are not in need. Let's continue to make du'a consistently even after Ramadan. You see, Allah Ta'ala in the Qur'an, if you look at the verses of Siyam, of fasting, in between those verses, there is a verse of dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, when my servants ask about me, tell him, O Muhammad, tell him that I am near. I will answer their dua when they call upon me. Allah is telling us this. Subhanallah. But there is a condition of dua. What is that condition of dua? That when you ask Allah, be sincere that Allah will answer you. Udu'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijabah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, when you make dua to Allah, have yaqeen, have certainty that it will be answered. You need to have that yaqeen, that certainty. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us, when you make dua, ask for the best. And he gives us an example. When you ask Allah about Jannah, don't just say, Ya Allah, give me Jannah. He said to ask Allah for Jannatul Firdaus, the highest of paradise. Ask Allah for the highest, always. Allah Ta'ala listens to your dua. And there's a few ways Allah answers your dua. There's a few ways. One, Allah Ta'ala answers your dua immediately. I'm sure some of us have experienced that. Wallahi, I've seen it with my own eyes. Amazing. In 2005, when I was in Hajj, you know, it didn't rain for almost a year in Mecca. The Sheikh, he was giving a khutbah in the Haram. And in his khutbah, he was begging Allah Ta'ala, making dua to Allah to give beneficial rain. Wallahi, I'm telling you, I'm a witness to this. There was no cloud in the sky. No cloud in the sky. It was hot. And he started the salah. When the salah ended, there were clouds in the sky. And then by the time we got out of the haram towards the hotel, it started to pour down rain. You know, I'm getting goosebumps as I'm speaking about it. Like, because I experienced this, subhanAllah. Instant acceptance in the dua. The Meccans were outside, they were in the rain. They had buckets, they were filling up their buckets. They were so happy to see rain. Immediate acceptance. That's the one way Allah Ta'ala accepts. Another way Allah Ta'ala may delay in acceptance of your dua to give you at a time where you need it the most. Right? And Allah Ta'ala does that for many of us. Also, He may give you something equivalent to it or even better than what you've asked for. You know, some of the youngsters, you know, you might ask, Ya Allah, give me this such and such woman to marry. Right? You name this person. I'm sure many of you have said some names in your salah. That, Ya Allah, you know, grant me this woman to marry. You know, and then you end up marrying someone else. You know, Allah didn't accept my dua. But you didn't realize that Allah Ta'ala gave you someone better. Allah Ta'ala answered your dua, but He gave you someone equivalent or even better. That could be for anything. You ask for a job. You ask for a job, a certain type of job. Allah probably gave you something better. Think about this. And another way Allah Ta'ala accepts your dua is He won't give it to you in this world, but He will give it to you in the Akhirah, the reward of it in the Akhirah. And it says in a hadith, you're going to see these mountains of deeds. And you're going to ask Allah, where did this come from? And it will be said to you that this is the dua that wasn't answered here, but given to for you in the Akhirah. And you're going to think, you're going to say, Ya Allah, I wish none of my du'as were accepted here. I wish I got it there, because you're going to know the worth of it. Allah Ta'ala will respond. He will respond. So make constant du'a to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And lastly, I want to end it with this story. There was a man in the early stages. There was a man by the name of Hatim Al-Asam. Some of you probably know this story. Amazing. He wanted to go for Hajj. He was well known in the community. He was not very rich, he was poor. And he was well known in the community to be a righteous man. He wanted to go for Hajj. And he asked his family, but when they counted the money they had, he didn't have enough to even go for Hajj. And even if he did, there wasn't enough for the family to survive for that long, because he was the breadwinner. So his wife and the other family members said, you know, maybe next time. Maybe next time. But his daughter, subhanAllah, his daughter said to her father, Allahu Razzaq. Allah is a provider. If you want to go, you're doing this for the sake of Allah. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will provide. Now this doesn't mean that he just automatically left. No, he arranged a few things. You know, he made sure that the family were taken care of, even though it wasn't enough. Because remember, you may ask Allah Ta'ala for something, but it doesn't mean you sit there and do nothing. You know, you still got to do your part. You know, you still got to do your part for something to happen in your life. Some people just say, I ask Allah for this, but nothing happened. Well, you got to get up and work. You got to get up and do something. You know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't you think Allah Ta'ala would have given victory just like that in the Battle of Badr? But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua. He still had to put in effort. The Sahabas had to put in effort and fight, but they had trust in Allah, and Allah Ta'ala provided angels for them. Musa Alayhi Salam, he was pinned, he was cornered. In front of him was the sea. Behind him was Fir'aun and his army. They would have been gone. Many of the Banu Israel, they lost hope. And then he made dua to Allah. Allah Ta'ala told him, pick up the stick, hit the water with it, and Allah split the sea. Don't you think Allah would have split the sea anyway? You put in your effort. You do your part. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, اِعْقِلْ نَاقَتُكْ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Tie your camel and then have trust in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Do your part. So when you're making dua to Allah, do your part. So this is what Hatim, he did. He arranged a few things, but it wasn't enough. Yet he had tawakkal in Allah. He left. When he left, Atib was able to find the people to support him and sponsor him the entire Hajj. Then his family, after a few days or maybe about a week, they ran out of money. They ran out of money. And then the mother goes to the daughter, see, look what you've done. You know, you've told your father you can go, and now we have no money. The daughter laughed. The daughter, she laughed. And then she said, haven't you forgotten? Have you forgotten? Allah is Razzaq. Allah will provide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرَزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. She said this. And then she went to the back of the house. She turned to Allah. She turned to Allah and she made dua to Allah. She made sincere dua. She said, oh Allah, you said you are the Razzaq. And she repeated this verse or these verses. As soon as she was in her dua, there was a knock on the door. True story. There was a knock on the door. And they opened. She went and she opened the door. It was a man who was part of the entourage of the governor. They were going on a journey, most likely they were going for Hajj. And they said to her that the governor is thirsty, do you have some water? So they stopped for a pit stop, and do you have any water? So she went and she got some water and she displayed the water really nicely. It's a governor. And then she gave it to them. The governor went and he drank. When he drank that water, he was so highly satisfied with it. So satisfied. You know, it is Allah who put that satisfaction. He was so satisfied. He said, where did this water come from? So she said, they said it came from the house of Hatim. And they said, well, we need to go meet him and thank him for this. They said, no, we heard he's gone for Hajj. Then the governor, he said, well, if he's gone for Hajj, then it is our duty to take care of his family. So what he did was, he had a sack of gold, many sacks of gold. He took one sack of gold and he took out a whole bunch of gold and he threw it to the house. He threw it to the house for them to take. And then he told his people that were with him in the entourage, he said, if you love me, you'll do the same. So they all opened their sacks, they took gold and they threw it to the house. And then they went to collect the money. And when that was happening, the daughter started to cry. Then the mother said to the daughter, my goodness, you know, when we had nothing, you were laughing. And now when we have so much wealth, enough for them to live for their life, you're crying? What's the matter with you? She said something so golden. She said, how amazing it is that a human being, because he saw us with the eyes of mercy, we were given this. Imagine when Allah sees us with his eyes of mercy. You know? These stories, it should shake us. It should waken us up. You know, we are here in the month of Ramadan. Let's not forget Allah. Let's not forget Allah after Ramadan. I still want to see the mosque full. We know we still want to see work happening. We still want to see dua happening, tasbih happening, dhikr happening, Quran happening throughout your life. And every Ramadan, it should only make you stronger as you go. So again, Jazakumullah khair. Forgive me that I've taken a while. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of us. We ask Allah ta'ala to accept our fast in this month of Ramadan, to accept our deeds, to accept every good that we've done, to forgive all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us complete forgiveness. We ask Allah ta'ala to help us keep on going after Ramadan, to keep us going strong. And insha'Allah ta'ala, we ask Allah ta'ala to grant all of us Jannatul Firdaus. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته